and Savior, because without Him, you ain't going to be heavenward bound. The only faith you're going to be living by is faith in this world. Faith in the false sciences and all this other stuff there. And let me just clarify something there real quickly. There's a difference between science and false science. Okay? Big Bang Theory, false science. Evolution, false science. True science always finds out that the Bible is accurate. Amen. Now, real quick commercial break here for you. Don't forget, I got my book, Survey of the Book of Acts, available there on Amazon.com. It is available as an e-reader as well as paperback for $12. It is just going through trying to look at the Book of Acts, break each verse down as much as possible. Get down there where the rubber meets the road. Keep it simple, because I am a simpleton. Just to help everybody to be able to understand the Book of Acts a little bit better. Now, all that being said and done, hope you got your Bibles ready. We're over here in the Book of Acts, chapter number 22. And we are continuing our forward progress of the church here as we are have started this a couple of years back. If I remember right, this is the 88th sermon in our series here. We're getting there little by little. I'm not going to guarantee when it's going to be done, but we are doing our best to go through it. Amen. So, Acts chapter number 22, I want to read verse number 30. And then continue down through the fifth verse of the next chapter. So, the Bible says here, on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. And said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, Revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. Real quickly, summarizing to get us up to speed here. Acts chapter number 22. Paul started off there giving his testimony, and because the Jews had decided that they didn't like him. They didn't like what all he was doing with the Gentiles and whatnot. So they dragged him out of the temple in Jerusalem to beat him up, kill him if they could. The Romans came down, stopped it, gave him the chance to speak. And as soon as he mentioned that word Gentiles, boom, that was it. They heard. They wanted to hear no more. The captain of the group there, the Romans, they brought him into the fortress, and they're getting ready to interrogate Paul. And Paul said, "This ain't legal." Okay, yeah, you're right. It ain't legal because you are a Roman citizen who's uncondemned. Can't do it. So they bring him now here before these Jews, before the Sanhedrin. He wants to know exactly what's going on. Why don't you people like Paul? So Paul begins to speak, but the problem with it all is this. They don't want to hear what Paul's got to say. And so Ananias, yes, this is the same Ananias that him and Caiaphas had their scheming ways from a few years back there with Jesus to crucify him. He's had a little go here where, he's gotten a big head. He's fully the high priest now, by ordination of man, not of God. And, he's decided that, he's just not gonna put up with Paul. So he has Paul slapped. slap him right in the mouth. Not good. Now, all that being said and done, let's be honest here. We all have had people in our lives who decided that they're in charge of us, decided they know better than us, decided they're going to put us in our place. And whether they literally did or figuratively did, they slapped us upside the head. Not to knock common sense into us. No. But to put us in our place. I want to deal with this subject here today because I want to try to understand what's going on here and get a little snapshot, if you will, of how we should act in accordance with getting a slap in the face. So let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and then we'll get into the sermon. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you, God, for loving us, for saving us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand here and bring your word to your people. And we do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day, upon these sermons that we're preaching here through the book of Acts to better understand how the church needs to be going forward. Sometimes it's as a unified body. Sometimes it's as individuals. Sometimes we're growing with leaps and bounds. Sometimes we are taking one inch at a time, and there's some days in between those individual inches. But Lord, we want to do it your way, in your time, and most importantly, in your power. So help us, Father, please, to do it. Help us, Lord, please, to keep our wits about us, to respond to the enemy when they come instigating problems. So that we don't make matters worse. We're not called to win arguments. We understand we're called to win souls. So help us, Father, please, to do just that. In that name of Jesus Christ that is above every name, my brother, my high priest, my soon coming king, in his name we ask you this, Father. Amen and amen. So here we are. And like we said, Ananias, he doesn't care what Paul's got to say. We're all going to have individuals in our lives who obviously are not going to care what we've got to say. But we could try to speak up. One way or another, they're going to slap us back down. Now, not all the time is it going to be physically hitting us. Sometimes it's just going to be using bigger words than us. Sometimes it's going to be talking louder than us. Interrupting us. Cutting us off. Turn around and walking away instead of giving us a chance to speak. But these slaps are going to come our way, church. We're going to find people slapping us away when we come to try to tell them about Jesus. Certainly, you know, been out a few times knocking on doors to witness to people, invite them to church, and people say, not interested, close the door. Don't want to hear it. I go to this church. I'm this denomination, whatever the case is. And it's going to happen. There's going to be fights inside of churches between brethren. It's the nature of this world. We are all still humans, and we're all going to have our opinions. Some of us are going to be too highly opinionated. We need to be careful, though, when it comes our way, that we do things right. So let's start off here, and I want to go to verse number 1 of chapter 23, because I want to show you that Paul was slapped for having a clear conscience. Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Now, as you study through the book of Acts, you see very quickly that Dr. Luke does not give us all the details of all of Paul's sermons that he delivers. It may be that Paul literally only got to say that little bit right there. Paul may have actually been able to try to give some of the gospel out already. Whatever the case is, Paul knows, number one, he was guilty of nothing when it came to their accusations about the temple. Paul knew he hadn't violated the temple by bringing in any Greeks. Paul knew he was trying to fulfill the requirements of the law with what he was doing there. He was doing everything legal. He was innocent. And he knows that the gospel of Jesus Christ that he is preaching is not perverted. It is not given out there with any sleight of hand. It is not going out there trying to add to it. It's not trying to take away anything from it. He is as clear and concise as he needs to be to try to win souls to the Lord. He'll do what is necessary to witness to people. He didn't even sit here and demand the churches sponsor him while he's out on his missionary trips. Paul, we find, was a tent maker by trade, bivocational, if you will. He did not want to be a burden to anybody. He wanted them to see Christ. And he believed that the only way he could do that was to go and make a living for himself, support himself, and preach the gospel. Because he didn't want anyone saying, uh-huh, Paul's doing it for the money. Paul's doing it for the fame and recognition. Yeah, so much fame and recognition, he keeps getting beat up, thrown in jail, run out of town on a rail. Oh, yeah, a lot of recognition with all that. I personally don't want that kind of recognition. I'm lazy. I like to be a little comfortable. I don't want those kind of problems. I don't think Paul wanted those kind of problems either. But he, as he said over there, I believe it's in the book of Philippians, he has learned what sort of state he is in therewith to be content. Because he's got a clear conscience. And Ananias didn't like it. You know, sinners don't like hearing they're sinners. Sinners don't like seeing themselves put up against, compared with, if you will, and I'm not that we're trying to compare, you know, force sinners to compare themselves to us or anything, but they don't want to see such an extreme difference. They like when Christians are walking around with a can of beer in their hand and a cigarette in the other and cussing up a storm. Oh, they're Christians? Okay. Hey, it works for you, good for you. But I already got all that, so I obviously don't need your Jesus. And they're comfortable with that. They're comfortable with you going to church so long as you don't come to them and invite them to come. That gets on their skin, under their skin, gets on their nerves. Paul says, I got me a clear conscience. I will get on your nerves, I will get under your skin, I will tell you about Jesus, because it's too important not to. And they slapped him for it. You tell someone about Jesus, expect to get slapped for it, church. Literally or figuratively. Expect it. It's like when you go to reach your hand out there to help someone up, and they slap your hand away. I'm just trying to help you. Don't worry about it, church. You just do what God has commanded you to do, and they could slap you all they want, but you'll have a clear conscience with God. Paul was slapped to show who was in charge. You see here in verse 2, and the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Now, let me just pause here real quickly. Hadn't planned on putting this in here with the sermon, but we're going to do it anyways. Ananias, technically, at this point, was not the high priest. Okay, he had kind of gotten himself into some trouble and had been sent to Rome to stand trial there. And the only, and this was, you know, you got Felix is mentioned here in the Bible. His predecessor, I don't have his name right now. Go look it up later. But his predecessor is the one who sent Ananias to Rome. And the only reason that Ananias got to come back to Jerusalem was because of the efforts of Herod Agrippa. I'll put it that way, Herod Agrippa II. He wasn't king yet, but he did have political power there in Rome, and that got him to return here. And while he was gone, a new high priest was nominated, actually installed by Felix's predecessor. But before Ananias kind of got back there, Jonathan, that new guy who was installed, was assassinated. So at the moment, there technically was not a human high priest. Now, I'm putting it that way because understanding that Jesus is 100% God and 100% human at the same time, okay? Straight up, just human. There wasn't one at the time. Felix had not reinstalled Ananias as the high priest yet. But Ananias, having previously been, he's Mr. Big Shot. I was high priest before. We ain't got one right now, so by default, I should be considered the high priest until Felix gets around to putting me in, you know. Let's be honest here. There was no solely human high priest at the moment. But Ananias wanted desperately to be back in charge. And he wanted Paul to understand he was in charge, not Paul. There will be people you will come across in your life who want you to know they are in charge. Now, sometimes they are. Your boss at work is in charge of you. He is superseded by his boss and his boss's boss, so on and so forth down the line. There's going to be those who they think they're in charge. Maybe they've had a good long run of being in charge, such as a family that has been at a church for many, many years, and you know, they're the longest ones there, whatever, so they're in charge. You're going to have the pastor who comes in, rules with an iron fist and his boot on everyone's throat, and bless God, because I am pastor, I am in charge. Your pastor's established to be the under-shepherd of the church, but not to rule with an iron fist. But he wants to be in charge. So, and in many other situations, the co-worker who, they know what they're talking about. They've been there an hour longer than you. This, that, or the other. They're best friends with the boss, whatever the case is. So they want to show you they're in charge. It's going to happen throughout our lives, church. We're going to have people who are going to think they're in charge. People who are going to slap us down when they get the opportunity to do it. Just so you know who is in charge. Now, Ananias has Paul slapped right across the face to show he didn't appreciate one bit what Paul was saying. It may be that it was possible, since Paul hadn't extended any flatteries to Ananias, which, you know, he does, you know, extend flatteries to in the appropriate situations later on. But he didn't extend any to Ananias here. That Ananias got offended by this. Well, how dare you not recognize I'm in charge? I'm going to put you in your place because of it. And we're going to have people that are going to do the exact same way. Oh, you don't recognize me? Oh, son, let me tell you something here. And it's going to come. It's going to happen, church. We can't avoid it. I mean, we could do our best to avoid it. Let's try to do our best to avoid it, because we, you know, we're supposed to, as much as possible, live peaceably with all men and women. But the men part there, you know, ought to, you know, understood to include women as well. But the fact of the matter is, Ananias, for whatever reason, just didn't like Paul. Didn't like all he'd heard about Paul going to the Gentiles. Oh, by the way, I remember you back when you were simply known as Saul. I remember signing some papers for you to give you permission to go to Damascus and hunt down the way that was there in Damascus. You know, you guys calling yourselves Christians now. Back then you were only known as the way. Well, back then you weren't even of the way. I remember you, Paul, and how you were. How many people are going to remember us for how we were before we got saved? And now they just want to show you that they're top dog. So they'll slap you down. By slapping Paul, to show Paul who was in charge, he also was showing the chief captain here, the tribune, Lysias, who was in charge. Yeah. See, Lysias had made all the arrangements for the Sanhedrin to come together and meet up with Paul, but Lysias had also rescued Paul from the Jews who they were going to kill Paul, and Ananias would have been quite happy with that. How dare you stop my plans? Lysias, you need to understand, I'm in charge. But Lysias had been honoring the law by rescuing Paul because he was uncondemned and they were going to kill him. A murder was about to take place. He protected him. By arranging this meeting here, he has set up a bit more of a proper court hearing for Paul than what Paul was certainly going to get there in the temple courtyard when they'd already determined he was to be executed. Without trial. Now here is Ananias. He is blatantly breaking both the Mosaic law and Roman law with this very disrespectful gesture to Paul. And there's going to be those who will come in our lives and they're going to be very disrespectful. Common sense. Workplace practices and standards. The sanctity of the inside of the four walls of our church houses, our own homes, slapping us down one way or the other, just to let us know they're in charge. A very foolish notion, by the way, that any of us are in charge of anything, because I don't care who you are, I don't care what position you hold, how much money you got. You ain't even in charge of your own life. I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. I worked my fingers to the bone to have these billions of dollars that I've got. How dare you say I'm not in charge of my life? Go ahead and try slapping me down on that. God's the one who determines if you live or die, Jack. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Well, I can kill myself. I will take a gun and I'll blow my brains up. And how many times have people been unsuccessful with that? I mean, I understand the vast majority, they accomplish their goal. But how many times has someone really hurt themselves? Just all sorts of damage to their brain and now they're a vegetable because of it. The gun misfired. Jammed. It didn't go off at all. Yeah, you ain't in charge of your life. Only God is actually in charge. Being in charge is just an illusion. But people love their illusions. Don't be under any false pretenses, church. We serve God. Time and time again, you flip throughout your Bible here, you're going to find people calling themselves a servant of the Lord, that they declare that they are serving the Lord. And if we are serving, if we are being servants of the Lord, if we are being the bond slaves, the bond servants that Paul talks about, that means that he's the one in charge. Everybody else trying to slap us down, that's on them. God will take care of them. As a matter of fact, Paul very obviously states that he didn't appreciate getting slapped down. Here in verse number 3, and the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. I'm sorry, that was verse 2. Verse 3, then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? Paul understood that God wants justice and righteous judgment. And to slap someone on trial like that was the opposite of both. That was injustice. That was unrighteous judgment there. He had no reason. No reason whatsoever to do this. So Paul knew that God's going to take care of him. Well, how did Paul know that? I'm glad you asked that question. I like when you ask questions. See, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15. Ye shall do no unrighteous judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. And if God's commanding that, He's also telling you, look, I will judge you correctly, whether you judge correctly or incorrectly. And if I find you judge incorrectly, you will be punished. Be sure your sins will find you out. Paul didn't appreciate it. Paul was a meek man, but meekness is strength under control. It is not weakness. He was submitted to God. He wanted God's will done in his life. How about us? When someone comes and they slap us down, we certainly are not going to appreciate that they slapped us. But how do we respond? You know, do they tag us like this and boom, we just swing as hard as we can to get them right back? Jesus said to turn the other cheek. Man, that's hard to do. That's so hard to do because that's the last thing that my soul wants to do. My sin nature screams out suddenly, get even! Get ahead even better! Paul took a page out of Jesus' playbook, like we're supposed to do. Jesus was tempted 3 days or 40 days during the wilderness, and that last day we were told about 3 very specific temptations. And each time Jesus was tempted, Jesus responded with Scripture. Even when Satan twisted Scripture, Jesus still gave him Scripture. Paul comes along here, man. I'm going to give you some Scripture back. Because I know what Leviticus 19:15 says. We're not supposed to do that. He wasn't about to put up with this nonsense. See, he said there, Jesus said over there in the book of Matthew, woe unto you, you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres. Okay, he called them a whited wall, same difference. Which indeed appear beautiful on the outside, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. See what they did there with the whitey. This is not whitewashing. This ain't taking and painting the walls white, okay? Ain't doing that. This is the use of lime or some other chemical concoction there where they would just literally cover it. Like, oh, I've got this wood right here covering the cardboard and the insulation on the other side of this wall here. It's just a covering. But it was also very weak. This wood's pretty good. I'm not going to try to knock it down. It might knock the whole thing down on me, but that won't give before the whole building does. But anyways, but that concoction that they would put on the sepulchers there, on the walls to make it look pretty, was weak, fragile. You struck it too hard, it crumbles. And you get to see what's on the inside there. It's no good. What Paul just said to Ananias is, even though I'm the one who just got punched in the mouth, some of your facade just crumbled. You can claim to be holier than thou, Ananias. But you just showed, son, you ain't. You just proved you're not better. Those who take and slap us down. Now, we don't have to appreciate it at all. We also don't have to fight back their way. Fight back God's way. Give them some scripture. I don't need Jesus. It's written in the Bible that we're all going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. I don't need him. The wages of sin is death. I don't need him. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I still don't need him. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I don't need him. Bible says go ahead and shake the dust of your feet off. But give them the gospel. Give them a chance. No matter how spiteful they get. I remember some of the videos we saw from Ray Comfort. Out there doing the street evangelism and people getting right up in his face. He just keeps on preaching. One woman got so bold, she took her top off just to flash him there, to try to distract him, try to get him to start staring at her naked breast instead of preaching the gospel. And he chose to ignore her and kept on preaching. He's given what they needed. They needed Jesus. They're showing themselves right there as being sinners in need of Jesus. Trying to slap them down in various ways, and he's giving them Jesus. Are we giving them Jesus, or are we giving them right back what they gave us? Don't have to in any way, shape, or form appreciate it, getting slapped. But we need to give them what they need, Jesus. You see in verse 4, a slap of support. And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? He's a former high priest at best. But these guys here, oh, hey, wait a minute now. I understand, Paul, you didn't just reach back over there and slap him yourself. Paul, I understand you didn't just stand there and say, hey, you standing over next to that guy, slap him back for me. But you dared to quote scripture at him. You dared to speak up. And you'll have those others who will come alongside and do their best to stand up with their buddy. Expect it. But that also might be why Jesus sent the disciples out two by two by two. So one can do the witnessing, one can do the praying. One can do the witnessing, the other one can kind of distract the kids so as that mama or daddy can actually listen to the gospel. One can do the witnessing while the other one is sitting there saying, hey guys, listen up. Come on. Come on, pay attention. Listen up. He's giving you the gospel. Come on. They're going to have their support. Let's do our part to give them what they need, though, church. They need the gospel. Give them a different type of support. In verse 5, we see no slap back. Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. Paul's in reference here to the book of Exodus, chapter 22, verse 28, where the Bible says, "Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people." The word gods there simply means judges. And certainly, Paul is kind of on the hot seat right now. He's, while this ain't an official court, Lysias is just trying to find out exactly what Paul's guilty of. Ananias and the rest of the Sanhedrin are right now judging Paul, even though they've already found him guilty. But you see, to talk badly about someone doesn't just involve cursing at them, dropping those F-bombs and whatnot. No. Talking badly about someone, cursing them, can also include being negative. Calling them stupid. If your kid does something, you look at him and says, "What are you, stupid?" You're cursing your child. You're talking bad about him. You're slapping them that way. "Hey, dummy!" You're cursing them. You're talking negative about them. You're slapping them. Telling someone to just die already. You're cursing them. You're talking negative to them. You're slapping them. Paul didn't do any of that. Now, Paul had been a Pharisee. So as a Pharisee, he may not have been a member of the Sanhedrin, but he more or less was equal rank with the vast majority of these guys. Other than that, he wasn't a member of the Sanhedrin. But he was not the high priest. Therefore, high priest was a little higher up on the telephone pole, if you will, than him. He was ruler of the people. Even though Jesus Christ, who is 100% God as well as 100% man, is the only true high priest. And Ananias could get reinstalled by Felix and Herod Agrippa II and Nero if he wanted to. He had never have actually been the high priest, because the high priest ascended there in Acts chapter number 2 to sit there at the right hand of power to ever make intercession for us. But yeah, there's those who have rank over us, our boss at work. This person, that person. They yell at us. Don't slap them. I had a boss's boss a few years back. A lot of people didn't like this guy. They did not like him. I never had a problem with him. Because even in those times that he got on my case, if I was to be honest, I deserved it. And because I deserved it, and the way he went about getting on me about it, I respected him. I didn't go around talking badly about him. Didn't have to go and, "Man, did you see what he did to me? What he said to me?" To my fellow co-workers? No. Run to my boss, "Hey, he just did this to me, he being me." No. I wasn't slapping back. I wasn't going to slap him, period. I deserved it. See, if you did, there's a fine line right there, and I should, you know, get to this right here real quickly. There's a fine line between getting that slap in the rear to correct us, the chastening, and the slap across the face that is an insult. My parents tore up my backside when I needed it. I can understand that. I can work with that. And thank God that I had a saved daddy. He didn't come home drunk and just start beating on me because he's drunk and he had a bad day or he don't feel good or whatever. He didn't come home. Just start whipping up on my mama because, well, hey, she's there and I get to punch her. Can't punch the boss at work. I get to punch her. I didn't have to deal with any of that. Praise God for that. But at the same time, like I said, I did wrong. I got spanked. And because I got spanked when I done wrong, I grew up with a condition called respect for my elders and proper manners. Amen. Something this world is sincerely lacking nowadays. Because that wasn't a slap there. That was the proper chastening. But for us just to go off, I've got to defend myself. That's slapping back. Paul wasn't trying to slap back. Paul's letting them know that he didn't appreciate it. And he did it biblically. And again here, when the support comes along for the one who did the slapping, Paul still doesn't slap back. He doesn't slap at them. He answers biblically. Great example for us. Be biblical about it. And I know sometimes it gets hard. I know there are situations, ooh boy, we so desperately need to get this one straight. But it has to be done biblically. What was it that Jesus talked about there in the book of Matthew? You got a problem with your brother? Go to him. If he won't hear you, go get witnesses. Go to him again. Try to win your brother. We don't like that. We like vengeance. The Bible says vengeance belongs to the Lord, though. Paul understood that. So he wasn't going to seek vengeance. He is going to leave it in the Lord's hands. And he said that in verse number 3. God will take care of you, you whited wall. And God did. That's something for a different time. You know, find out what happened, you know, pick up my book there. Survey of the Book of Acts. I got it marked down in there. So don't slap back. And don't slap, period. That's how Paul responded. I got just one question for you here in closing today. How do we respond when someone slaps us? Father in heaven, thank you, God, for loving us, for saving us, the opportunity to stand here and bring your word to your people. We do pray, Lord, that everyone is able to get what they needed out of the sermon here today. And that we will respond correctly. Not the way we want to. Because our flesh definitely wants to attack back. But we need to do it your way. Just help us, Father, please, to do it that. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen.